I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Jason Hobbs. Jason is a one-person media company coming to us from Fitzgerald, Georgia. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
So, Jason, where is Fitzgerald, Georgia? Just to give people some context.
South Georgia, middle of nowhere. If you drew a line from Atlanta, Georgia to Jacksonville, Florida, about halfway in the middle is where Fitzgerald sits.
So with that in mind, what has happened to the media industry to enable you to be a one-person media company from Fitzgerald, Georgia?
To be honest with you, I don't think that anything's really enabled me. I'm more of an anomaly at this point, and it's more of a case where I guess the best way to explain it is marketing as a whole. You know, I'm a big copy blogger, Rainmaker Digital, Brian Clark, those guys, kind of their philosophy on content marketing, et cetera. And it's always, you know, for years, they've been talking about media, not marketing, et cetera. And over time, the solution that I provided to the same problem that I'd been addressing, it's just evolved. And, you know, to the point to where I'm not trying to niche down and it's been, you know, only offer this individual service. It's more of a case where I understood that the really small business owners, you know, 1 to 10 employees, kind of like my grandfather ran, both grandfathers actually, in Fitzgerald, the idea was that I wanted to help them get online. And the best way that I've found to do that, my best answer to it, is to become or adopt the strategy of a one-person media company. So where you're, and it's just taking ownership of your media creation. It's taking ownership of, you know, setting up a direct marketing, basically, you know, with your customers, and which ties back into my background. I went door to door, business to business, et cetera, doing a lot of direct marketing promotions for golf courses and ski resorts and hotel chains and Papa John's, Domino's, blah, 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 over the years. So did that?
Yeah. So I guess part of my question is, it seems to me that 30 years ago, you couldn't have done what you're doing now.
Not a chance.
Right? Because
not a chance.
Right? Technology has enabled people like you to do things that a major media company, which probably would have been located in a major metropolis 30 years ago, that they would have been able to do, but one person, there's no way one person could have set up shop, created content using various kinds of media, even doing things like, you know, years ago, just print media, creating a newspaper that had wide distribution. Even that would have been hard to do in a very small community.
Almost impossible. I agree.
Right. And now technology makes it possible for people like you and me to create content that is easily distributed worldwide at very low cost.
It allows us to create our own audience. You know, that was the big issue that I always had. You know, as the digital revolution happened, I was born way before 1974. And I didn't get my first computer till I was 31. And I didn't start moseying online regularly until shortly after I got my, you know, bought my first computer. I, you know, tinkered a little bit before that, but here and there at work and so forth. But the idea was I wanted to have a direct connection with my audience. And I wanted to help really small people like my grandfather, et cetera, you know, that avatar, if you will, because obviously he passed away years ago. But, you know, folks like that, I wanted to be able to allow them to, you know, use the internet, harness the internet to their advantage, whereas most of them weren't really comfortable with it. And they had always had kind of the middleman, right? So they'd go to the, you know, Fitzgerald Herald Leader, the local newspaper, and, you know, they would, quote unquote, rent access to their audience, and which gave all the power typically, you know, to the local newspaper, not to that business owner. Anytime that they wanted to do promotion or get new, you know, do a campaign or whatever, any money that they spent, it was always to an intermediary who controlled the audience outside of maybe, you know, a customer list. Like with Gramps, he was a sign painter. So the people he painted signs for, obviously he had, you know, that paid him, et cetera. He had that quote unquote list, but beyond that, I mean, that was it. It was word of mouth that they were willing to tell somebody, and otherwise he was going to have to go to an intermediary. And we have an empowered consumer, especially with, since the internet's, you know, taken hold, it's an extremely empowered consumer that's used to making their own decisions. They want to just get their information. They want to educate their decision, and then they want to, you know, execute their decision. And I believed, I saw that a little bit earlier, I think, than most. Because of that, it made me very confident that these really small business owners, these rainmakers that are responsible for the revenue of their 1 to 10 employee organization, you know, that they would benefit dramatically from having control of that relationship. Just like, you know, Copy Blogger started out as a blog and then now it's this huge business and blah, blah, blah. But what that boiled out from was the fact that he had built an audience from the very beginning that he had a direct relationship with. And obviously over time he was able to, you know, cultivate and kind of strengthen that relationship. So that was the idea for me, was I just wanted to help. And it, you know, it tied back to the direct marketing when I was going door to door, business to business. You know, I saw that work firsthand for, you know, Buffalo's Cafe and Papa John's and Pizza Hut and tons and tons of different golf courses, et cetera. And so that was kind of my mentality, you know, kind of where I was coming from. And the way that I answered that question, like, how do I get these people online? How do I help them set up their direct, you know, relationship with their audience? The first way that I answered that was by building a website, which is not the, you know, by no means is the end all answer, but it really is the foundation of, you know, everything that we build. Because once again, it's that direct relationship. Just because you have a Facebook page, you know, that's not, you still have an intermediary, right? Facebook. So, and just like if you run ads and blah, 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 but that email list where you own it, and that's that relationship. And so that's kind of, that's what I've been working on over time. Was at first I had to teach myself, it took years to teach myself the right way to build the website, get the hosting set up, blah, blah, blah. And very quickly, though, it became obvious, like, okay, I'm delivering great websites to these people, exactly what they want, but that doesn't matter because they didn't know, you know, once again, I'm dealing with non-digital natives. It just wasn't comfortable to them. So they didn't they kind of had the, you know, field of dreams mentality a lot of times, which was, hey, if we build it, they're going to show up because it's the internet, which, you know, as we all know, is not true. So that was kind of the evolution, was, okay, we need a website, but we also need traffic to the website. And then the follow-up to that very quickly was, okay, just because you got traffic, you have to have conversion. There has to be a overarching strategy to it. You know, there has to be a point behind it. And it's not a bunch of vanity metrics, especially with these really small businesses. It has to be revenue that everything leads back to. They need return on their marketing spend. It has to be an investment. It can't just be an expense. And too often that was the case for people. I kept coming into situations where I would help them build a website or something, and they were viewing it as an expense because it had been an expense before. The last person to build a website for them, they, you know, charged thousands, and, you know, this was years ago. And then, you know, they would put the website up, and then that was it. It was like, you know, we're done. There is no continued engagement whatsoever. And people didn't, the really small business owners I was working with, they weren't real excited about that. Like, that kind of, you know, it made them a little bit wary, or even more, or kind of re-entrenched their wariness about, you know, the internet. So kind of looking at it from, hey, it's an investment. This isn't an expense, and explaining to them how, you know, you're building an asset over time. That email list, that's an asset. You're just like with you, over 300 episodes or whatever of, you know, Smashing the Plateau. That's a business asset, you know. Same thing with the YouTube channel that you build, whatever. It's just you're building these assets that are, they add to the value of the business. They're not, you know, kind of a millstone dragging it down is the goal. Is that?
Yeah. So Jason, looking at the kinds of businesses you serve, how do you see them smashing the plateau through the tools that you provide?
Okay, so most of these people, the plateau is in the, for most of them that I'm helping them smash through, if you will, it's actually getting something from digital marketing, right? So with most of them, having a coordinated strategy, a consolidated strategy, is not something they've been doing. They've been chasing tactics. They'll hear about this. Oh, well, that worked for this person, or this worked for that person. And one of the things that I kind of learned, you know, the quickest, not really the quickest. It took me a long time to learn it, but it was something, or really believe the learning. But, you know, it was something I learned from Unthinkable.fm specifically, Jay Akunzo. And it's something that he had touched on a couple of times, which was basically, you know, just because it's a best practice doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. You know, you don't want to just modeling everything that you do after a best practice, quote unquote, ignores the reality and the uniqueness of your context. And that's really where I come in, is I'm not trying to, like, I don't walk in with a specific framework and say, okay, this is what we're going to do for you. I don't want to hear about you. This is what we're going to do for you. It's more of, hey, let me understand your context. Because, you know, once again, we're dealing 1 to 10-ish employees, really small businesses. I don't worry about industry specific, because it's always going to be specific to their unique context, to that individual person. So they have different fears, different beliefs, different experiences that they're drawing upon, different education, different support structure. You know, I mean, just it's always completely unique. So embracing that, whereas most people are trying to put them more into kind of fit them into a mold, I'm coming in and saying, no, this is I want to be your personal guidance. But the first step to that is, let's get to know you. Let's understand, you know, what is going to be the smartest step one from here for you and your unique context for your really small business. And keep in mind, you know, I'm talking like my grandfather. He was born, well, 80s. He was 87 when he passed in 2006. So,
right. So we can do the math.
Yeah, exactly. So he wasn't young, but you know, the idea was that this was someone that had never dealt with the internet, et cetera, but he ran a really small business for 50 years, you know, and he supported his family, et cetera, in a really small local town. So those are the people, like, that's where my passion is. That's where my, quote unquote, my heart is.
Well, you know, let's use your grandfather as an example, yeah, if we could, because I think he represents, he's very typical and represents a lot of businesses.
I agree.
World over. So what are the actionable steps that you took with him, or that you take with a business like his, so that people can understand, like what are the steps that they need to go through? Yes, there's something that's customized for every business, because every business is unique, every audience is unique, but there are certain steps that they probably all have in common that they need to be able to address, they need to be able to think about.
Absolutely. And the way that I explain marketing in 2017 and beyond is, I boil it down to attention for these people. And I say, okay, we're going to set up a system to keep attention first. And that's really just email marketing, right? But it's a way to educate the decision of people and get to know them over the long term. So we have that set up, and that's the email marketing runs obviously through the website for the most part, or primarily, right?
Right.
And so that's kind of the foundation, is, look, we need a system in place. Don't go putting a bunch of money into Facebook ads and Google and, you know, your local paper and so on and so forth. Don't worry about getting a bunch of attention until you're ready to keep the attention, so that you can. And the way that I approach email marketing is real simple. I want to educate the, you know, like I said earlier, empowered consumers, right? So I want to educate their decision to either work with the customer or not work with the customer. And so the way that works is, we educate their decision, we get them into email, we educate their decision, and then we make them an offer. And I like to use the word cogent, clear, logical, and convincing. We're not trying to talk them into it, but we are, you know, putting their best foot forward, obviously. And the idea is, we want them to take them up on the offer. But here's the key, and this is something I picked up from Greg Hickman of System.ly, Systemly.
And by the way, Greg's been a guest on this show. Great guy.
Awesome. Good guy, yeah. Real smart, too. And he uses Infusionsoft primarily, which I've always been with Rainmaker platform, and I'm using ConvertKit and all. So, but I've learned tons from him. And the biggest lesson I learned was, most people will make that offer. Let's say they do all this right. They have them getting into their email. They educate them, their decision, they make an offer, and then the people that say yes, maybe they even onboard them, but they'll ignore the 90 some odd percent that say no to that initial offer. So that's the idea, is that regardless of if they say yes or no to the first offer, we're going to continue the conversation and continue to learn about them so that we can better speak to them. So, and then beyond that, once we, and I treat that iteratively, it's not a set it and forget it. You know, obviously you have to put it together and you have to improve it, but it has to be put together and you have to then turn your attention to, okay, let's start getting attention, looking for underpriced attention. And with most of the folks that I've been dealing with lately, I've really been doing a lot of little Facebook campaigns, you know, just like a $500 budget for 3 months or something, where we can start to, you know, shine some light on the quality content, these doorways that we're putting into the email marketing system, which, you know, happens on the website. So,
right. But I want to reiterate what you've just said, because I think it's really important, which is for the people who have not said yes to the initial offer, what you're doing is you're looking at them and looking at them as not having said no. You're looking at them as just saying not yet ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something I learned. Okay, so I picked that up from Greg, definitely, as far as specific email. But this was something I learned going door-to-door, which was, there are differences between people saying no, where they slam the door in your face, so it's over, right? And them saying, well, I just don't play that golf course that much. It doesn't mean necessarily, they're not saying no, it's more of they're asking a question of, you know, how many times do I have to play there to get my money back? And, you know, would it still be worth it to me? How long do I have, you know, to use the promotion, et cetera? So that's the idea, is when we get them into email, we make that first offer, we're going to accommodate yes or no, in understanding that they can always say no and unsubscribe, and then obviously we're not going to, you know, that ends the conversation, so to speak. And then they can always come back and opt in later, but, and they'll go through the first part. They'll get, you know, made that offer, the, you know, educate their decision, made that first offer. And then from there, once again, if they say yes, we'll onboard them to the offer. If they say no, we're going to, some call it long-term nurture, some call it, you know, long-term follow-up, whatever you want to call it. I like to call it a two-way conversation, right? So if you say no, I'm just trying to continue a two-way conversation to start to learn more about them. So, for instance, with VintageAmericanWays.com, I've been helping them recently, so it's real fresh in my mind. And one of the things that we set up in their email setup is, you know, once they make a yes or no to the offer, that's when we really start to dig in a little bit further. So, like, one of the things that we're asking people in that email sequence, the initial one, is we're trying to find out, are you a teacher? Are you a homeschool parent, or are you an English as second language student, an ESL student? So for each of those three different avatars, or just people, we'll call them, for each of those people, we're going to have a specific explanation of the offer. You can sign up for the year, you get all this stuff, whatever. They either say yes or no. And then from there, though, as a teacher, we're finding out more about them and their classroom and their, you know, subject and so forth. Homeschool parent, same thing. We're starting to understand, you know, what grades are they in, where just, it's always about getting to better know your customer, because it's a long term. We're trying to build as many long term relationships with this as possible.
Okay.
Know?
All right. So it's get attention. It's keep the attention. It's get some people, make an offer so that some people will say yes. And then of the people who have said no and have not opted out, what can we learn from them?
Exactly. Because we're going to come back with another offer in the future is the idea. Like, I'm not, you know, just because they said no that first time, it could have been they just weren't ready. Maybe they didn't know enough about it. Maybe, you know, they just didn't, it wasn't, you know, priority right now. Maybe, so for instance, right now we're in the summer months. So maybe a homeschool parent, they don't really, you know, they didn't need it right now. But once it gets closer to the school, you know, kind of the kids starting back or whatever, maybe they're prepared. Or maybe it's, you know, after the first part of the year, like after Christmas or whatever, and they're looking for a dish, you know, something to kind of mix it up or whatever, because what they get from that is lesson plans. So the idea is, you know, kind of accommodating them. We don't once again, that empowered consumer, we're not trying to dictate to them, you have to buy now or whatever. We're just trying to get them the information that they need so that they can make a decision. And we want to make it easy for them, you know, when they make the decision to work, you know, to move forward.
Right. And now, are there other steps beyond this, beyond just making an offer, onboarding the ones that say yes, learning from the ones that say not yet, and then making another offer?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily that binary, so to speak, as far as, you know, the bang, 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 it's going to be this, you know, the offer, and then either, you know, they said yes or no, and now we're going to do, you know, find, you know, ask them a bunch of questions and then follow right back up with an offer. It's more of a case of when we get them onto the list, they're going through the sequences that we've set up, like educate their decision and, you know, make the offer for all that. But they're also part of the email list so that these folks are, you know, emailing them once a week with their latest content that we're creating. So we're going to iterate that out, but it's going to be specific to that audience. And, you know, what are we hearing back from them? What are they asking about? What are they, you know, what do they not understand? What is important to them? What are they saying this is important or whatever? Because once we have the keeping attention system in place, the monthly focus is creating the content that's going to attract the audience that these folks want to put them into that sequence. So if we've taken them through and they've been made a cogent offer, they either took it or they didn't, you know, once again, that's if, unless they hit reply to one of the emails or reach out, you know, do a separate email or whatever, we're not like, you know, bombarding them, and we don't have like a super, you know, strict schedule or whatever. Because month to month, what I'm working with the owners on is creating the content, the getting attention, basically. You know, does that?
Yeah. So are there some top questions that you think a business owner needs to ask himself or herself if they haven't done this kind of marketing before?
Yeah, they need to understand that, well, they have to make sure that they're committed to the long term, because if you're creating your own audience, you know, and you know this probably better than I do, but, you know, it takes time. You have to do good content. It has to be, you know, good, meaty. It has to answer questions that they care about. It has to be done in a way that, you know, a voice that is, you know, relatable, that your ideal customer, you know, relates to and, you know, is attracted to, so to speak. Oh, I lost the question.
Yeah. Sorry. About what, like, what are the top questions business owners need to ask themselves if they haven't gone through this before?
Really, I don't think there's a lot of questions that they need to ask. They just have to be committed to it. And then from there, I think they need to audit what they have currently. Like, one of the big things in a strategic marketing plan that I learned in college was, yeah, you have to look at the environment and, you know, you have to look at your current setup and et cetera. So if they've never done something like this, the first step is they need to get a list set up on their website so that people can start signing up. And it's not just, hey, join my email list. They need to offer something. Like, there has to be something of tangible value to people to sign up. And something I picked up from Chris Garrett, which was with you know, Rainmaker Digital and all that, was, you know, promise something today and promise something to come, you know, as far as that bait, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, it's a case of you got to be consistent. I mean, as far as the questions, they have to be committed to it. And, you know, here's the thing that I ask people typically, and it's a kind of a, you know, a loaded question, right? Which is, you know, is this a long-term play? And they're always like, well, yeah, it's not, you know, this is my legacy. This is my, you know, my business, et cetera. And exactly. So, you know, as long as I can keep them grounded in that, then setting up the keeping attention system, working on getting attention week to week and month to month, it's easier for me to guide them through the grind, so to speak, by always kind of keeping them grounded and saying, hey, you know, don't chase the shiny object. This is something, it's not going to be easy, but I can guarantee it's going to be worth it, is, you know, the idea.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a hard thing for a lot of entrepreneurs to be, to ignore the shiny object and be focused on the long term. Because you're right, it's a long term play, definitely a long term play. So, Jason, what's an example of some phenomenal results that you've seen a business owner achieve as a result of this kind of long term play with digital marketing?
by far the best results that I've watched, and I've literally watched it, you know, from an outside perspective as a customer, was watching CopyBlogger grow from, you know, nothing to 12 million plus a year, or yeah, over 12 million a year, you know, 60 some odd people, et cetera. I've seen people, you know, take their list and only have nothing and have them get it up to just a few hundred people on the list, and that their sustainable business is being built from that. You know, it doesn't, you don't need thousands and thousands and thousands. I work with another gentleman that has well over 12,000 people on his list. And, you know, obviously has a very robust business being built from that. But even when it was in the hundreds and, you know, the early thousands, it was a robust business then, you know. It's just a lot of people, they see these big numbers, 60,000, 100,000 people on lists, and they're like, oh, well, you know, that's a big elephant, so to speak, to consume, right? They're like, you know, I'm at zero and, or it's 10 or whatever, and but helping them understand that that's not necessary. And, you know, it's always specific to the individual. The other thing that I don't like is you see a lot of people that are trying, that are comparing, and I do this myself, it's just human nature, I believe, but comparing yourself and your business to others is a, you know, just bad idea, because you know, it really boils down to the fact of what you want from your business. And once again, it goes back to that unique context, right? Some people, they want a lifestyle business, and kudos to them. We only get one time around this on this rock, right? And that's something, but I'm super ambitious. So I kind of initially, I was kind of like, why would you only want that? You know, I want to be huge. I want to be like Apple or whatever. But realistically, you know, let's identify what they want, and then let's help make that happen is kind of the approach that we take. So,
yeah, that's great. Jason, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
This was that question that you had mentioned, right?
Right.
The biggest ones that jump to mind. Okay, so Eric Ham is Cobalt Apps, and one man, he's got like three kids, and his wife just takes care of the kids. So it's single income family is my point. And like, he's just been doing such huge things for years. Super impressed by him. Will Falconer, vitalanimal.com. He's another one that, you know, I see these people. That's what's always motivated me. It's like, you know, I follow Greg and Dan Norris and the Rainmaker guys, you know, et cetera, all these different people that have impressed me over the years. Gary Vaynerchuk, I'm a big fan of his and all. But it's really the little people that I get the most, like, I don't know, that just fuels me, I guess. You know, so like Eric Ham, and then Will Falconer, definitely, vitalanimal.com, cobaltapps.com is Eric Ham. But those are the two that really jumped to mind the fastest that have just really impressed me, because I've been following both of them and know both of them, or, you know, internet known, you know, for years now. And just, it's something that it's impressive to me. So yep. Those would be definitely my two answers.
Sounds good. Jason, what can we look forward to from you in the near future? What's coming up?
I got some plateaus of my own I'm smashing through. It's really the biggest thing for me is I've always been the person that didn't want to kind of, okay, so remember earlier I said I like to set up a keep attention system before I worry about getting attention. And I've never worried about getting attention over the time, because I had to teach myself how to do the website right. And I'm not a, you know, a coder by any means. I had to teach myself about getting traffic the right way. I didn't want to do shady stuff because, once again, Jason Obbs LLC, I put my name on it, you know, and it's my grandparents' legacy. My mom owns 50%. It's her retirement and it's my life's work. So, you know, I've been real wary about getting any kind of attention, but now that's the next thing, is just starting to, you know, share the one person media company strategy with more people. And really what I want to do is I just like talking to people about their unique context and being able to help them. I know that I can't, my bandwidth, I can't work with everyone. It's just literally impossible. And even as I build my team, which that's my goal in 2018, is to really start to, you know, I'm a one person media company, but I don't plan to be forever. I want to be able to help more people. But at the same time, that strategy is something that, you know, can really help these really small people, these 1 to 10 employee businesses that are either, if it's a startup or if it's an established offline business, you know, and that's really, that's kind of been my focus.
Sounds great. And Jason, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
JasonHobbsLLC.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, always JasonHobbsLLC. I'm on LinkedIn. I think I have close to 7,000 connections on there. But it's really a case where if you go to JasonHobbsLLC.com, the big thing is you'll see at the top a book a call button. It's a free 30-minute call on Skype that I like to record with folks. Actually, I think, you know, you were one of the folks that did this with me. And, you know, to help me kind of introduce myself, but more importantly, to get to know and hear from people, what are the problems that they're dealing with? What are the, you know, the issues? Because there's a lot of times where they're dealing with stuff that, you know, problems and that feel monumental. And I overcame it, you know, 6 years ago. I had to, you know, it took me forever to figure out how, but I did. And so being able to pass that information along is just, you know, it's enjoyable. It's kind of, it's a lot of what drives everything. So definitely if you're curious, you're not sure, it's not going to be a big sales presentation or any of that. I just like to chat. So, you know, anyone that wants to take me up on that, I'd feel blessed to do it.
Yeah. And I can say from personal experience, having that initial chat with you was great. So people should definitely take you up on it. So Jason, thanks so much for coming on Smashing the Plateau today. It's been a great conversation about how to understand what marketing means in the digital world, because whether you're a business that is doing business digitally or not, your customers are definitely using digital tools to check out how to solve their problems. So understanding how that whole thing works is really important to business success today. So thanks for walking us through some of the basic steps.
Thank you. It's been always fun to chat. I enjoyed our first call and I've enjoyed this call as well. It's always fun to, yeah, I'm in the middle of nowhere. So it's always fun to be able to, you know, and I always try and surround myself with like-minded people. So, you know, that's, and you're definitely like-minded in something that I'm kind of aspiring to. I remember the sandbox thing as far as with the 300 episodes and plus, that's something that I'm working on as well to grow my audience moving forward.
Yep, just be consistent, as you said. So my guest today has been One Person Media Company, Jason Hobbs. Thank you again, Jason, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.